Today's daf, Boker Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Dalid. We're about one third of the way down. We're going, coming back now to the question that we had raised earlier. Mipnei ma lo manu atachatz. So the question was, which we never explained, why is Achaz not one of those that is considered to be without a chelik in Olam Haba? Reb Yirmiyahu bar Abba, mipnei shemutal ben shnei tzadikim, ben Yotam l'chizkiyahu. Since his father was a tzadik, was Yosam, and he himself was the father of such a tzadik, which was Chizkiyahu, so because of that, we don't see him as being chaser in Olam Haba. Now, this is a very interesting nekuda, because it seems pretty clear from the Gemara later on that this is not a question of kavod, meaning that, okay, we don't want to list them because, after all, how are we going to say that Yosam's son and Chizkiyahu's father didn't have a chelik in Olam Haba? But it's clear from the Gemara later that it really means that he had a chelik in Olam Haba, because of the fact that he was Muto Ben Shnei Tzadikim, which the Gemara is going to discuss. Is it possible for someone to be Mezaka, someone else in Olam Haba? But the way that the Maral explains it is that the flow of Yisrael identity is such that it's not possible for someone who is Mechuber, both from Lamala and from Lamata, and he continues to carry those genes, so to speak, that provide the entire essence of Yisrael in terms of the Malchus. It's just not shayach that he doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba, because it's clear that he is mechuber to Yisrael, and ko Yisrael yesh lo chelik l'Olam Haba. So therefore, for whatever reason, maybe we don't know what the basis is, but we see in practical terms that he's certainly someone who is mechuber to Yisrael. So we don't know the answer necessarily. That would be the way to understand it. Otherwise, it would have to be some type of getter that it's inappropriate to mention him, but in reality, it doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba, which is the way some understand, but it's problematic with our Gemara. It may very well be a machlokas, actually. Not even here in the Gemara, but between various midrashim. So I don't want to say for sure. Omer Reb Yirmiyahu bar Abba, mipnei shemutal ben shnei tzadikim, ben Yotam l'chizkiyahu. Reb Yosef Omer, so according to this approach, you would think, the Gemara is going to end up saying that that's not the point, but Reb Yosef Omer, mipnei shehaya lo boshet ponim mishayahu. The point is that we know that he himself had a sense of busha. And remember that the Gemara says elsewhere, the lo yirani, ha yirani. So if a person feels that he sinned and he's misbayish from his sins, that itself is already a getter of yirhur in teshuva. And it's because of that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meichel. And we know that Achaz felt tremendous shame in front of Yeshayahu. Where do we see this? Shenemar, Vayomer al Shema Yeshayahu, Tzeina likrat Achaz, Atav Eshar Yashuv Benecha, El Ketzei Te'alata Berecha El Yonah, El Mesilat Stechoves. So we're going to analyze that pasuk. By the way, Rashi over here explains that the Shar Yashuv Benecha is a remez not to the name of the son, literally, of Yeshayahu, but rather to those who actually he is able to relate to, and who do teshuvah, who are considered to be the equivalent of his children. In any event, what we want to take a look at this pasuk is, what is this strange thing, go up to the road in the field of the washers? What does that mean, a koveis? So, ikidi amri, koveis should be understood as kovesh, the kavishinu la'ape v'cholav. Achaz walked by when he saw Yeshayahu there. He put his head down so Yeshayahu wouldn't recognize him, because he was so embarrassed to be seen by Yeshayahu. And others say he literally took a koveis, ikedi amri uchle de katsre. Remember, we spoke about in Kalim and in different places where we use the simon of a kli that leaks water out over the begotten. So I compared it today that we have something similar in terms of starch. So there's this like little, you put the starch in a little container, or you take a boost and you make some holes in it, turn it upside down, shake the starch out on the clothes, and then you iron it. So some say he took this big bucket, which is an unbelievable level of busha, that it's literally steak ovase. Here's a Melech Yisrael. He took a bucket of a washerwoman that has these holes in it, put it over his head so that he could walk by Yeshayahu and Yeshayahu wouldn't recognize him. So to have that level of busha is already a beginning of the tikkun for his chatoyim, and because of that, he has a chelik in Olam Haba. And what about Amon? So why didn't they say that Amon does? I mean, we said all those terrible chatoyim that Amon did, but yet we don't list him. Ah, that's because Amon's son was Yoshio. So then I don't understand. If you said that if you have a son like Yoshio, so then we don't list you, so then we should say Menashe wasn't listed because he had such an amazing son of Chizkiyo. I mean, I don't understand. His amazing father of Chizkiyo. So, I mean, if we're saying that if you have a tzaddik as a son, so I'm assuming if you had tzaddik as a father, it should be the same thing, no? No. Bra mizake abba. But abba lo mizake bra. The fact is that a father cannot be giving over zechuyot for a son. Dechtiv ein miyadi matzil. So that nobody can rescue me. Meaning, ein Avram matzil et Yishmael. Even Avram. Avram should be able to save Yishmael from the din. No, he's not. And Yitzchak cannot be matzil as Esav. So Chizkiyo could not do anything to save Menashe's chelek and Olam Haba for him. And on the other hand, while a son is alive and doing mitzvahs, those mitzvahs are actually Mizake the father who gave birth to the son. And because of that, it's as if his work is still at work in the world, but it doesn't work in the other direction. The father is chelek and olam hazeh is finished. What about the concept of zechus avais? I mean, we see that there's an idea called zechus avais. So here there's a famous Rashba where the Rashba tainas that zechus avais is really only shayach to olam hazeh because it's part of the concept of the genetics of olam hazeh in a sense. And it's not really able to change the matzav in olam haba at all. That's a different question. And so because of that, this is why I said earlier that if we're talking about the actual zechus, and why don't we say the zechus, it's mashma that the sugya before that said that he's between two tzaddikim is not a question of, you know, it's inappropriate to mention it, but the truth is he doesn't have a chelek in olam haba. Here we're talking about actually being mezakeh him. So it's mashma that the sugya all along sees this as something that's real. And here's the problem, the next words, where I mentioned to you before, that you would think that the machlokes before about whether we view him because of the fact that he was so mizbayish, Rabbi Yosef said from Yeshayahu, that we view him as having essentially mechaper because of that. So hashda datita lahachi, we could say, that acha is nami lo imne mishum kvodo shel Chizkiyo. So that we didn't, so here you see it says the lashon of kvodo shel Chizkiyo. So you could say, it's a very funny lashon because it's not about his kavod, it's about his achievement, right? Okay, Chizkiyo has real zechuyos, it's his son. And it's not because of kavod. It's very confusing whether we're talking about a reality or are we talking about just a question mishum kvodo. But the pashtus would have been the way to understand what does that mean. You don't have to tell me that it's because of his busha from Yeshayahu, right? That's what the Gemara is saying. But the way it would have made more sense to learn the Gemara, if it hadn't been for this statement, would have been to say, if the Maharal's approach is correct, and to say that we don't know why, but the fact is that we see that Achaz was part of the whole flow of the Kedushas Yisrael, because before and the after, he is the one that connects the Malchus, and these are tzaddikim. So Rabbi Yosef could have been seen as coming along to say, we do know what the Schus is. because the fact is we see that he was Mizbayash Rabbi Yishayahu. But now that the Gemara is saying is you don't have to say Rabbi Yosef's Pshat anymore, so then Mashma, that what we're saying here is Kvodosho Chizkiyo, that's why we're saying that we don't have to say that Pshat. Hashta da Asis Lahachi. Because if it's Bishop Kvodo Shechizkio, then we're not looking for a reason for why he really has a Chelek in Olam Haba. Am I being confusing here? No, it's clear that there's two different approaches. If it's a din in Kovod, it has nothing to do with whether he really has Olam Haba. If it's a question of because he's Miyached, those two levels of the before and after, then the Mashmoot is it's because he does have a Chelek. If it's because of that, then we need Rabbi Yosef to explain maybe what the chizkus was. All right. Anyway, I don't want to.
When the story beats us of it, wasn't that to give his father the Torah?
No, the Pashta. No, the Pashtas over there is that he wanted that Yisrael shouldn't learn from him. Take a look at the. We'll think about it afterwards. I don't want to take up our time. But the Gora Bitas Aviv, we have to take a look at the Gemara over there. We'll do it afterwards, okay? Because Rashi, we have to take a look at the Rashi over there. It says Gora Bitas Aviv. I think that it's because he didn't want Yisrael to give him that cover that they should be Neita Akara. Umipneima lo manu et Yehoyakim. So now the next question was, that we had asked before, both of these issues, why didn't we list Ahaz and why didn't we list Yehoyakim? And that is because of the Maisa that we learned before about Yehoyakim, that he had this terrible thing happen to him. Mishum de Rabbi Chia bar Abba, he already had a kapara. His kapara was that crazy Maisa, remember, of the self-cleaning oven and the skull of Yehoyakim. So we'll review that story. The Omri Pchia Rabbi Avuya, Ktiv al Gugalato shel Yehoyakim, Zot va'od acheret. You've gone through this, but there's more to come. So what is that all about? So Zekeno de Rabbi Preda. Rabbi Preda's grandfather, Ashkar Gugal Tadavik Ashadya Bashari Yerushalayim, he found a skull that was there on the gates of Yerushalayim, in which on the skull it said, Zot va'od acheret. Know what that meant, but you don't leave a human skull unburied. So Kivara, he buried it velo ikapra, but it would not accept burial. So it kept being found on top of the ground. He did it again, Kivara velo ikapra. Omar, so he said, this must be Gugal Tosho Yehoyakim, because it says there that Kfurat Chamor Yikaver Sechov Vahashlech, so Yirmiyo says about him that he's going to be thrown out like a donkey would be thrown out, meaning without burial. So because of that gezeira, he realized that there's no way to actually bury him. So he said, look, after all, Yehoyakim nonetheless is a king. I mean, we can't leave him like that out on the field. It's just not appropriate. So he wraps it up, as he wrote, so he wrapped it up in the valuable cloth and he puts it in his safe. And remember what happened, that his wife saw it in the safe. Here it doesn't say the whole story. Before we had that she went to the neighbor, and she told the neighbor this horrifying story. My husband apparently is a murderer. He's got a skull in his safe. And the neighbor told her, no, it's not that. It must be his first wife that he's so in love with, he can't part with her. So she turns on her self-cleaning oven and puts in this skull, and that was the end of Yehoyakim. So that was the Va'od Acheret. So what was going to happen was already written on that skull. So here it just breaks it down to she thought. Doesn't say how she came to think that. She thought it was Yitaka Maita, Yahavi de Halo Kamanashi. Like, can't forget his first wife. So Shagra Tanura, she heats up the oven, and she burns it. So the very concept of the Zot Va'od Acheret was meant to be the Kapora on Yehoyakim, and because of that, he is not included in those that don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba. Anyway, sometimes we've just been talking about how wonderful it is that Legima is so amazing, and it ended up saving Micha, and it ended up being Mekarev Rechokim, and it ends up being, if you don't have it, it's Marchik Krovim, and it would have made all the difference that the, if only Yonatan had done it, and so on. But we also know that Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, if we take a look at Chizkio, the tragedies that took place in Chizkio's life, actually, we can trace them one to the other. Because Chizkio said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he was davening, that he should be well. So he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu something that is very inappropriate. And he says to him, you should remember, we had the same problem with when we said, why is it that there's no sefer with the name of Nehemiah? That sefer Nehemiah is not in the Jewish Seder of Tanakh. We only have Ezra. But here, Chizkio says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ona Hashem, Zichorna Zasher Yisalachti Lefanecha Be'emes, Ubilvavev Shalem, Hatov Be'inecha Asiti. Boy, oh boy, that is a dangerous thing to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, I did everything wonderful, and I did the good in your eyes. Woohoo! Anyway, so when you say that, so then that led him to end up saying, Ma'ot, remember, he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's given these extra 15 years, so Yeshayo comes and says to him that you've got another 15 years, so he says, show me an oath. They have another 15 years. Okay, when you start asking for signs, so what happened because of that sign? So that sign was that the sun was actually showed the fact that Chizkio became better. Now that, remember, triggered the story of how it is that they knew about this in Bavel. And because of that, Merudach Baladan was so impressed. What the heck happened over here? They told him the story that Chizkio got better and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu moved the sun up for him and so on. So he sent his representatives to bring that gift to Chizkio. But because those representatives came, Chizkio ended up causing the whole gullus and destruction of his family and Vezmir. Why? Because he treated them like they were royalty. And because of that, we said before that he ended up going into gullus. That's how this fits in over here. Because there are times when you feed people, which you thought until now that Legima could only be good, where over here it was destructive, because it's since he did that, it ended up Goram Golot Levanav. And this is a raya to, now this is not the Melech Chizkiah that we're talking about over here, but it is a proof to another Chizkiah, who is an Amora, but, you know, it's probably not a coincidence. So this is a raya to Chizkiah. The Omar Chizkiah, kol ha-mizamin ha-vikichavim l'toch beito, u'mishamesh alav, gorim galut levanav. You invite someone who worships Avodah Zarah into your home, and you treat him like royalty, and you stand there, and you feed him, and you take care of him, you are actually going to cause your children to go into galut. Because we see that after these people left, so then the Navi comes and tells him, so, who are these people? So now you should know. Mibonecha asher yetzu mimcha, asher tolid yikachu, v'ayu sorisim be'echa malach bavel. It's because of the way that you exposed everything to them and made them the boss, they'll be the boss. V'ayismach alayhem Chizkio. Oh, Chizkio was so happy that people are recognizing him from all over the world. Vayar emet beit nechoto. He showed them, we'll see what this beit nechoto is. He shows them the kesef, the zahav, the besamim, the shemen hatov. Omar Rav, what is these things? Beit nechoto means a bayit is always a reference to a wife. And nechoto means nached, to have something missing, which is a reference to your primal wife, which was that missing rib, so to speak. So it means that he had his own wife serving them and pouring out their drinks. Ishto ishketalehem. That was a terrible, terrible bizoyan for the level of his home. And because of that, You lost at home? Shmuel Amar Beit Ginazavir Alehem. He showed them all of his treasures, or Beit Nechoto could mean, Rashi brings also, it could mean all of the spices that he had from all over the world. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, are you kidding? You know what he showed them? He showed them their anti-missile secret program. It was Zion Ochel Zion Alehem. Weapons that destroy other weapons. Now, this was a Star Wars initiative that Chizkio shows off to the people from Bavel. You can imagine that because of that, we have Tzoras today. Anyway, now we get to the end of all of these stories, which we said was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Chizkio, and we went through the different stages, which were merumas in I'll Stay, Ish Atzel, and how in the end the whole gether was broken and Yerushalayim was destroyed. So we're going to go through a little bit of the rumbasim of the Churban in Sefer Eicha. So it says, Eicha Yashva Badad, Omar Rava, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, why does the whole story of Tisha B'Av in the Megillah constantly revolve around that word Eicha? Mipnei Malaku Yisrael be'Eicha specifically. Mipnei Sha'avru Ashoshim v'shesh Kritot b'Torah. The gematria of Eicha is 36. And it's because they were over on all of the Lamed Vav Kritot in the Torah and broke the last of the things that were connecting them. Karet means to cut. So you cut the threads. And because of that, the Churban took place. And Omer Rabbi Yochanan b'pnei Malaku ba'alav beit. How come the whole Eicha is the only sefer that we have in Tanakh that is structured along an alphabetical poetry? So every perek kimat has an alav beit to it. That's b'pnei she'avru ala Torah shenitna ba'alav beit. And then it goes on to say, okay, that's the word Eicha. What's Yashva Vadad? Omer Rava Omer Rabbi Yochanan, listen, the greatest brocha to Yisrael was Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did I say in the beautiful closing of the Torah, the brachas of Yisrael, in Vizot HaBracha, V'yishkon Yisrael betach badad en Yaakov, el eretz dagan v'tirosh, af shamav yarfutal. So what is this? We've got Yisrael, that they live in complete security, totally on their own, the way that Yaakov was badad. Shmira from Amala, into a beautiful land of different grains and wine dripping with dew. Now, because that is not what they wanted, meaning the whole success of Yisrael is recognizing how different they are and how little they have in common with the rest of the earth. And that was what was meant to be, a badad that comes from an absolute sense of uniqueness, of security, of independence. And what do these people do? They go out to be like everybody else. So it's time for us to take our Greek island vacation, and we should visit Barcelona, Barcelona, and we should become part of the UN and deal with all of the insanities and pretend that that's going to make us like everybody else. And then, of course, they won't turn the UN into a place in which the whole point is to make sure that we don't become a land that is Yoshev Badat securely. So that's the Mida Geneged Mida. The more you attempt to be like the rest of the world, the more the rest of the world goes out of its way to make it clear to you that you're nothing like them. This, of course, is the way in which Yisrael is nishmeret min hashamayim, that ani amarti, the betach badad en Yaakov becomes badad moshavam. So it's Eicha Yashva Badad. You want to talk about badad isolated, a totally different sense of badad. Not total independence and security, but total isolation and rejection. That's what you get for caring about the opposite of your badat. Ha'ir Rabati Am. I mean, what does Rabati Am mean? It's like, does that show anything great about Klal Yisrael? They have a big city. Amar Rava Am Rabbi Yochanan, it's their commitment to reproduction. That's what's so important. The same thing that we find in Mitzrayim and the same thing that we find in the Oves and Imos about how committed they were to having children So that is part of an active participation in the original bracha for humanity of a type of pur avu that would turn the earth into a makom that was suitable for an Adam Atem. And they used to go out of their way, sure, you may see in kitana legadol, ugdola lekatan. So when they had relatively immature reproducers and relatively overmature reproducers, so in order for each one to make up for the other, so they would take a young girl to give to an older person, so that way the greater fertility of one would make up for the lesser fertility of the other, and vice versa. Gidola lekatan obviously doesn't mean literally gidola lekatan. It means there's more mature, as Rashi explains, more mature and less mature reproductive systems, because young sperm is not as effective and not as mature, and a younger womb is not usually as fertile. So this means somach lepirkan, says Rashi, close to the time at which they're at adolescence to make sure that they would have maximum children. Haitaka almana, what does ki almana mean? Omrev yudamarav, it means not that Klal Yisrael chas v'sholem was an almana, was similar to an almana. In the same way that we speak about women whose husband goes away on a long business trip all the time, aye, she's like an almana. This is what all the friends say, you know. Her husband goes to the States every other week to make a living. That's ki almana, lo almana mamash. Alakisha shalach ba'aval medinat hayam. A woman whose husband is going away on business. But of course, daiter lachzor aleha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is away on business. So what can you do? He had to leave for a while. Rabati ba'goyim, sarati ba'medinot. What does that mean? Sarati ba'medinot? How do you become like the sarim, meaning you become the actual ministers in other nations? Omar Rav, Omar Rav Nachman, yes. Rabbi Yochanan, koma kom sheim olchim. Wherever Klal Yisrael went to Golos, they ended up becoming the most important people in the government. So that can't be a coincidence. So that's the sarati ba'medinot na'asim sarim la'adonayim. They end up becoming the ministers to the people that had taken them as a servants. And here's a beautiful story. For those of you who admire Sherlock Holmes, this is a perfect Sherlock Holmes story. So, Tana Rabbana, Ma'aseh b'shnei b'nei Adam, Shenishbu b'har ha-Karmel. So there was two people that the Goyim had captured on Har HaKarmel. So one of them was called Watson, and one of them was called Sherlock Holmes. Anyway, so they are walking along, Shabbai Mahalecha Charehem, and you've got the one who captured them. He's behind them, and they're walking in front, and he's hearing the discussion between them. So anyway, so Sherlock says to Watson, look, I just want to point out that it's elementary, that Gamal Shemalechet Lefaneinu, it's clear that there's a camel up ahead, a mile ahead, and it's blind in one of its eyes. It's carrying two containers, one on the right side, one on the left side. One of them is filled with wine, and one of them is filled with oil. There's two people that are walking in front of this camel, that are guiding this camel. One of them is a Jew, and one of them is a Goy. Meanwhile, so he's pointing out all of his, it's elementary to Watson. And the guy behind them is thinking, these guys are nuts. I'm Ksheyorev, she shouts to them. You always think you know everything. Me'ayin atem yodim. What kind of crazy stuff is this, pretending to know everything about everything? I said to him, well, it's quite obvious, is it not? I mean, you're blind, deaf, and dumb not to see this. I mean, take a look. A camel always eats from whatever it sees. It doesn't go roaming around looking for food while it's being taken along on the road. Okay? Now, that means that it only eats what it can see. So, mitzad she'ro'eh ochelet, mitzad she'eina ro'eh, eina ochelet. Now, this camel is always eating the grass on this side. Now, how to explain that? It's blind in the other eye. So it's not attracted to the grass on the other side because it doesn't see it. It's elementary, man. Now, it's clearly carrying two different containers. One of them is wine and one of them is oil. How do I know? Keep your eyes open. Show yayin mitafte fishokea. Look on that side, okay? There's a long line of drips where each drip has been absorbed into the ground, but you can still make it out. Now, on the other side, there's drips, but they're not absorbed into the ground. I'd explain that. Well, obviously, one is overly vicus. It's oil, and it's not being absorbed. The other one is wine, and it is being absorbed. So, shall I yayin mitaftef v'shokia? Shall I shemen mitaftef v'tzaf? All right? Now, there's two people that are guiding this camel. That's quite obvious, all right? Because one of them is a goy, and one of them is a Jew. Now, what's obvious is that they are going along, relieving themselves as they're walking. Now, the guy doesn't care. He just goes ahead, urinates at the side of the road, or does more than that. And but Yisrael has sneers. He doesn't do that. So he goes off to the side. Now, how do you explain the fact that one guy is making a mess along the road as he walks and the other guy isn't? Well, obviously, one of them is Jewish and one of them isn't Jewish, right? So it's quite clear, which I was just pointing out some interesting factors over here. Nothing too smart about that. Anyway, this guy runs ahead to see whether all of this is true. And it was exactly what happened. So he gives, I give up. So he goes back. He kisses them on their heads. He brings them into his house. He feeds them. And then he does a little dance in front of them. And he says, Baruch shebochar bizaro shel Avraham, v'natan lehem mechokhmato, u'bechol makom sheim olchim, na'asim sarim la'adoneihem. And he brings them back home to Haifa and puts them back in their home in peace. He would never have the chutzpah of keeping people like this for himself. Okay. Continues. Now the next pasuk in Eicha. What is the double bechia? Why bocho tifke? Shtei bechiyot halalu lama. Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Echad amigdash rishon, echad amigdash sheni. And why balayla particularly? Because it means al iske layla. It's because all of this happened because of what happened on one very terrible night. Shenemar vatisa kol ha'ida vayitnu et kolam vayivku ha'am balayla ahu. It was that night after the Meraglim came back that the whole night was full of loshen hara and of persuading themselves that life was miserable instead of getting out there and celebrating. And because of that, Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, that night was the night of Tisha B'Av. Omar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, you enjoy crying over nothing? You like making yourself miserable? Fine. Atem b'chi, tem b'chi yashol chinam. Maybe it's time for you to find out what reality is. So this became the day of the Bechiya L'dorot for both the Churban of the Bayis Rishon and the Churban of the Bayis Sheni. Dover Acher, Balayla relates particularly to crying. Shekola boche Balayla kolonishma. When someone cries in the middle of the night, you hear him crying from blocks away. Dover Acher, Balayla. Shekola boche Balayla kochavimu mazalot bochimimo. There's something in the night that brings out the loneliness of the human condition, and it's a time that is suitable for crying. Dover Acher, so that even the heavens seem to be crying with him. Balayla, shekol abocha, balayla, ashomea kolo bocho konegdo. Someone who's crying at night and other people hear, it moves them very deeply, and they cry themselves. Maaseh b'ishachat, there was once a particular woman who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Gamliel, Shechentosh Rabbi Gamliel, whose son had died, and she used to cry all night long about him. V'ayta bocha alav balayla. And Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Gamliel, used to hear her crying, and he would cry along with her. Ad shenashru risei inav, until he looked mamish of as if he was crying all the time. So obviously he wasn't crying for her son. He was crying for what needs to be cried for, the matzav of Klal Yisrael, the Churban Beis Hamikdash. But it connects you to the underlying tragedy. That's why we say to an Ova that his nechama should come betoch shar velei tzion v'Yerushalayim. So that means that in the crying for that avelus is a crying for Tzion v'Yerushalayim, and that everybody ultimately connects in their own tragedies with the tragedy of the world, which is the Churban Yerushalayim. So it's what happened to him. When you hear someone in such pain, so you recognize that it's a world that's full of pain, and then you actually respond yourself to that pain. Anyway, so he looked mamish. He was walking around with his eyes red and his eyelashes over his drooping over his eyes. So the mocher ikiru bo talmidav, the talmidim saw that something is affecting him terribly, and they found out what was going on at night. Vahutziua mishchunato, and they took her out of the neighborhood because it was going to ultimately affect Gamliel's health. They couldn't have him staying up all night crying every night. Medimata alecha, Yah continues the pasuk, her tears are on her cheeks. So we understand tears on a cheek is a reference to the idea of lach, meaning that these are fresh tears. It's not like just theoretical tears. Something that is part of the way that you relate to your youth. So it's like an isha shebocha abal ne'ureha. When you actually relate to the things that are the love of your life, so we're talking about, it's things that are always fresh. Shenemar eli kivetulach aguratzak abal ne'ureha, that you should cry and lament like a virgin who is crying over her lover that ended up dying. Now, that's what this is like for Yisrael. Always a sense of the fresh love that is lost. Hayut sareha larosh, Omar Rava, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. By the way, I just want to point out that idea in terms of the Churban is a parallel to the idea of Pesach in terms of the Geula. So in other words, the concept of reliving the youth of the experience, the Zachartu Chesed Niurayich that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels, is the same when it comes out that you realize what you've lost. You realize that what you've lost is the thing most precious and most part of your youth. And therefore, it's Alechiya is the same thing as Chesed Niurayich. Hayut Sareha L'Rosh. This is something important for you to remember to say next Daf Yomi Baneh. Hayut sareha larosh, Omar Rava, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kol ha-mitzar li-Yisrael, na'aseh rosh. What this means is that everyone who is an enemy of Klal Yisrael becomes a leader in their university. Ki lo mu'af, another pasuk that Rava was derished from Rabbi Yochanan, ki lo mu'af, there's a girs of shenemar, but it doesn't seem to make sense, and the Grot takes it out because it's not mechuber, really, to the drasha before. Ki lo mu'af lasher mutzak la. This was a pasuk that we darshaned before when we were talking about Sancheirev and the way that there were different invasions of Sancheirev, how first he took out two of the Shvatim, and then gradually he was gola all of the Aseres HaShvatim. Anyway, so the same pasuk we're darshaning here, ki lo mu'af lasher mutzak la. The ones who are enemies and who are oppressing Israel, they never get tired. Lo mu'af lasher mutzakla. So that would be a continuation, would explain why this is here, and could even explain shenemar in the sense of na'aseh rosh, although it's not really the same thing. Ka'et harishon hekal artza zvulun v'artza naftali. So yes, the first invasion over here, this is how we understood it before. So when Ashur invades Yisrael. So first, it wasn't as disastrous. People didn't realize how bad it was going to be because they only took over Zvulun and Naphtali. So it seemed like it wouldn't be so bad. But then Ahron hichbid derech hayam over hayarden galil hagoyim. But actually, in the end, he's going to be goyla everybody, the ones that are over hayarden and the ones who are in the galil hagoyim. That's the place that all of the goyim want. So that's called, like we saw in many Gemaras, all of the people on earth, for some crazy reason, have to be completely obsessed by Eretz Yisrael. They all have to figure out what is going to be in Eretz Yisrael, how it is that they are going to end up having their approach. It's an unbelievable thing. Like, as if nothing else on the planet matters, and that's all they have to think about. So that's called Galil HaGoyim. This is the place where all of the goyim have nothing else to do but to think about. Wild stuff. Anyway, so Omar of Rabbi Yochanan, this also shows that Lomu Aflasha Mutzakla, anybody who's going out after Klal Yisrael, never gets tired. You think this is the 496th resolution against Israel. I mean, like, it's all the same garbage. Don't you get tired? Nope. Lomu Aflasha Mutzakla. It's an amazing phenomenon. They never get tired. Later, Lo Alechem Kol Ovrei Derech. This shouldn't happen to you. Omar Rava, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mikan Lukublana Min HaTera. This shows us that this way that people speak and they complain to look what's happened to me and so on, which you would think is a sort of like inappropriate because it's a taina against God. Look at the terrible things that have happened to me. So you say, you know, lo alechem, such horrible things shouldn't happen to you. Like it's making yourself out as the worst situation in the planet. And that sounds like a taina against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, but you see from here that this idea of lo alechem, that it is appropriate and that you can actually say this. And this lo alechem, you'll notice when people write and they're saying that they're not feeling well or something, the minhag is to write the lo alechem. And they always, it turns out, misspell it. Because they spell it lamed ayin. It's supposed to be the lo alechem. But you'll notice that the lo alechem in the pasuk is lo alechem with an olive. It shouldn't come to you, but not lo alechem. It shouldn't befall you. So it's like mamish, you're writing something that it doesn't appear in any pasuk, this lo alechem. I forgot who it was. It was someone who was very makbid on this because he felt that it was a sheker, midvar sheker. God, who it was, if I can find, who would write that? It was one of the big bullying Musar. I forgot who it was, but he said to write Lamed Ayin instead of Lamed Olive is also begetter using Sefer Torah the way you want to use it. Remember, I think one of the Gedalei Musar. Anyway, what's the meaning Kol Ovrei Derech? Kol Ovrei Derech, Omer of Amram, Omer Rav, Asauni K'Ovrei Aldat. They made me like an Ovrei Derech. An Ovrei Derech, remember, Derech usually is used for norms. Let's say Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz are the things that people in general view as normative. So to be Ovrei Derech would be to be compared to Sodom. And the whole concept of Sodom was like just not to be part of the norms of concern in the world, of the sexual practices of the world, which is also called Derech Eretz. And they turn us into Ovrei Dat because look at this. The Sodom, what does it say? Hashem Imdir al Sodom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to be wiping out Sodom. And by Yerushalayim, it says, Mimarom shalach esh batz motai vayirdena. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent fire into my bones and crushed my bones. It's very similar to the kind of things that happened with Sodom. So it looks like we're being put into the same category. And indeed, it says that in the Pasuk. Vayigdal Avon Batami Michatat Sidon. This is what it says there, exactly. So apparently we're over there. Well, wait a minute. If you really like Sidon, so then how come you weren't destroyed the way Sidon was destroyed? I mean, Sidon was very effectively wiped out by a meteorite strike, and that left nothing behind. So how come Yerushalayim wasn't wiped out completely? If they're actually like Sidon, that should be, they should be wiped out completely too. You know that they actually found the remnants of the meteor that struck Sidon. It's an amazing thing. Well, exactly like the elements that are mentioned in the Chumash. It's like really wild stuff. It's just like over the past couple of years. So, Omar, Sovri Masur Panim Yeshua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what? He plays favorites? Omar Rava, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, because Yerushalayim had something that gave it a schus of kiyum that Sidon didn't have. So it's true that maybe in terms of some of the averas that we did, we were like Sidon. But there was something special, which was by Sidon, it says, Hinei zeh haya avon Sidon achotech go'on sivat lechem v'yadani ve'evyon lo yechzika. So Yechezkel actually explains, your sister Sidon, want to talk about sister planets? You know, this is what happens to Venus. This is what happens to Earth. Should be exactly the same if it's your sister. It's not the same because there was once upon a time this place that was full of bread. They were rich. They had everything that they needed. But Yada Nivev Yondo Yechzika, they didn't care to support people that were poor. Masha'in came by Yerushalayim, even where it's talking about the horrors of the siege of Yerushalayim, it says, Yidei Nashim Rachmaniyot Bishlu Yaldehim. So that means that we look at these women as having been their whole lives very, very compassionate people. So that means that in Sodom there was no compassion, and in Yerushalayim there was compassion. That's the difference between getting hit by a meteor or getting defeated in war. Pasuk later says, Sila kola birai Hashem bikirbi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was misolel, means to walk over all of my nights. This is like Adam Shomer L'Chaveiro, when you have a whole system of coinage. Nifsalamat be'ezel, sorry, that no longer works. So it's sila nifsala. It's now worthless. You got all those dollars, those were canceled. Potsu alai PM, they used to laugh at us. Omar Avam Rabbi Yochanan. This is really strange because instead of the correct order, we find pay coming before ayin in the Seder of Eicha. So not in all of them, but in three of them. So how is it that pay comes before ayin if the order of the Aleph Beis is ayin pay? That's because the whole point was, Lashon Hara means you say with your peh what you don't know with your ayin. That's exactly what is Lashon Hara. And since the whole makor of this Churban and this terrible story of Eicha comes because of peh and ayin, so Ripadavka, the Novi, put the peh before the ayin because basically they had already made up their mind before they left what it was that they were going to say when they came back. It was even before they went. That's Koyoshiacha, Meatzat Meraglim. So that initially it was already Be'etzara. Eich le'ami, ochlu lechem, Hashem lo karo. So what is that exactly referring to in Tehillim? Well, my Rava, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. It got to the point where kol ochel milachman shel Yisrael toim tam lechem, but she'en ochel milachman shel Yisrael leinu toim tam lechem. The fact is that people that didn't have, they love stealing everything they can from Yisrael. They didn't have anything that had come from Yisrael, and it's just like regular bread. Didn't have any taste to them. Hashem lo karo, what is that referring to? Rav Omer, it's Elu HaDayanim. These were judges in Klal Yisrael. that they weren't really there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. It was a career, you know. Shmuel Amar, Helum Alamde Tinokos. These are the people that work in the schools. It's a career, you know. You get paid, you come in, do your 9-to-5 work. How are you supposed to be able to give over to a future generation what it means to be a Am Hashem if that's how you're teaching them? Getting back to the Mishnah, I mean, who wrote this Mishnah? It's a sort of a chutzpah to decide who has a chelik in Olam Haba, who doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. Who exactly made that list? Mimina'am, Om Ravashi, the list actually comes from the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and they had the Nevi'im, and they had Ruach HaKodesh. So, Enochinami, a normal Tana and Amora would never have said such statements. It required the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah to say this. And as they were actually discussing who should be included in this din of having Olam Haba, Om Rav Yudah Amar Rav, Bikshu Od Limnot Echad. So in the middle of that Masa V'matan, in this, the Beis Din of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they wanted to include Shlomo HaMelech as well. So because of that, this was because of the whole story with Bas Paro and the Mashmos of the Psukim, that Ke'ilu Shlomo HaMelech was Eved Avodah Zorah, and he didn't prevent his wives, but whatever, they wanted to include him as well. Ba'ad mut yokno shel aviv, v'nishtecha lefnehem. So David HaMelech appears for them in this hologram and bows down, begging them, please, chas v'shalom, to include my son. But they didn't pay any attention to holograms, because as we said before, the father cannot be Mizakeh Abra. So if Avram can't save Yishmael, why should we pay attention to David HaMelech saying, please don't write Shlomo? They didn't pay any attention. Ba eish min hashamayim v'lichaka eish b'saf seleim. A fire came down from the shamayim. It started licking the chairs that they were sitting on, which meant to say that God is not happy about this. Lo yishgichu alo. No, we don't pay attention to fires in determining how it is to teach Torah. So a basko comes out from the sky and says, Chazita yishmahir b'malachto lifnei melachim yityatzav. Bal yityatzav lifnei chashuchim. Chashuchim, actually. I've told you the story about this pasuk, right? Of Ben Franklin, such a beautiful story. So what is this pasuk? You see a person who works diligently. A person like that stands in front of kings, not in front of people that are dark and have no light in their life. So what does that mean? Says the Basko, Mishikdim Beiti Leveito. He was building two homes. My home, meaning the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMelech. So what did he do first? He built the Beis HaMikdash first, before his own home. And not only that, he built it with much more zrizus. When he was working on the Beit HaMikdash, the whole thing took only 7 years. When he was working on his palace, it took 13 years. Lifnei melachim yityatzav, ba'al yityatzav lifnei chashuchim. Such a person should be included with these people that are chashuchim without a chelek in Olam Haba. These should be in front of the best of the melachim. Lo hashgicha chalav. The people there in the Beis Din wouldn't pay any attention to the basko. So another basko came out and said, listen here, gentlemen. Hame'imcha yishalmena kima'asta. This is very similar to the incredible taina of Gandalf against Sam, who says that actually we should kill Gollum. He deserves to die. So what does Gandalf say to him? Can you give him life, that you're the one that is going to be deciding whether he should die? That's what this Baskol said. Hame'imcha yishalmena, are you the people that you can pay the people the Olam Haba that I have to give them? It's up to you. And therefore, you're the ones, kima'asa, you can say, no, this person doesn't deserve it. No. It's not in your hands at all. In fact, it's none of your goddamn business. Ki atatifcha v'lo ani. You're going to choose who goes to Olam Haba? I'm not going to be the one who chooses. What's wrong with you? Yes, of course. So you're going to choose and not me? That did it. Apparently, after that, there was no more attempt to include Shlomo HaMelech. So now comes another nekuda. This nekuda is beautifully brought out by Reb Tzadok. So Reb Tzadok says, the same way that there's an inyan in Kabbalah of a concept of the Rishimo. The Rishimo is something that is an impact that's left on the structure of reality by the fact that there is a vector to reality, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seeks for something to be achieved, but it leaves only a roshem. That's why it's called Rishimo. And we never find a causal basis for it. It's just the way things end up working out, as if there was some hidden roshem in the air that just left things going that way. Sort of like a perforation, you know, where you tear, it'll tear along the perforation. So he says the same thing is true when we talk about in the Gemara a concept called Dorshei Rishumot. What does Dorshei Rishumot mean? They darshan roshams. So he says the point is that these are people who are capable of detecting the overall roshem of things that we know nothing about, meaning that we're unable to find, the same way that there's no causal in terms of physicality, we're unable to account for it intellectually or to have a real sense of what's going on, but nonetheless, there is a detection of an impact on things. And that means that the reality of Olam Haba is totally ayin lo ra'asa, says Reb Tzadok, and therefore is truly none of our business. That's the inyan that comes. That's how these two things are connected. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's none of your business, he means it's none of your business because you have no idea what you're talking about. You're talking about only the things that you can understand. You cannot discuss things that you literally don't have concepts of. But Dorshei Rishumot, who don't claim to understand, don't attempt to understand, but only detect the way that there are hints at a different reality. So they used to argue with the whole Mishnah. And they said, the level that you guys are talking about, of Olam Haba, and who has Olam Haba, who doesn't have Olam Haba, that's not ultimately the sense of Olam Haba. The ultimate sense of Olam Haba goes back to the opening Mishnah and the words of the Mishnah of our parak. Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek L'Olam Haba. So wherever that is, that Roshem exists, it's impossible not to have that Darga of Olam Haba. Kulam Ba'im L'Olam Haba. And the remez to this in the Pasuk is Shene'amar. It says, Beferish in Tehillim, Li Gilad, V'li Menashe, Ve'Ephraim Ma'oz Roshi, Yehuda Mechokeki, Moav Sirach Tzi, Ale Dom Eshlich Na'ali, Alai Peleshet Yidro'ai. Not clear at all. What is this referring to? Gilad is mine, Menashe of mine. Ephraim is the place where I put my head down. Yehuda gives the chok. What is all of this? So they darshan it like this. Li Gilad, that is a reference to Achav. Why Gilad? Because that was the whole story. It was in Ramot Gilad. Menashe is Menashe. Li Menashe means that king that you're saying doesn't belong in Olam Haba. Li Menashe is mine. Ephraim Oz Roshi. Who is Ephraim? The stronghold that I have. That's Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat came from Shevet Ephraim, and he was the one that was given his malchus by a Navi. He's mine, that Ephraim. And Yehuda Mechokaki, who is that referring to? That's referring to Achitofel. Because you're saying Achitofel doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. He is the ultimate Mechokek, who actually is the one that was the Gemara says, and the Pasuk says rather, that the Atas Achitofel was as if you were hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So then that means that he was coming from Yehuda as well, came from Gilo. So the cross of Yehuda, Moav Sira Chatzi, that's a reference to the Rochets. That's the Sir Rachatz is a reference to Gehazi. And Gehazi was all involved, of course, in the Maisa with Naaman. And that's where everything went wrong when he went chasing after Naaman. And Elisha said to him, he's going to end up getting the tsaras of Naaman. So therefore, the idea of the wash, the Sir Rachatzi, which was the whole story of Naaman, is an understanding that I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, am going to take the Sir Rachatz. Lamaisa, the word Moav has nothing to do with this and probably is part of the Ka'asi Miyehuda along with the meaning of the Moav that we said before. Not that it's two separate things, because otherwise, how did Moav get involved with this, right? Sir Rachatzi, yes, but what does it have to do with Moav? Zathara has nothing to do with Moav at all. So we'd have to understand that the word Moav maybe was part of Yehuda, referring to Achitophel, that was said by David from Moav, maybe. Al Edom eshlich na'ali, who's Edom? Doeg Adomi. So in other words, the three people that you list, whether we're talking about Malachim or the people that you list, who were Hediotos, they're all included in this pasuk, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that they belong in Olam Haba. And what does it mean when it says, Alai Pelesha Titro'ai? Now what, the Plishtim are going to make friends? Omru Malachei HaShores Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam. How can you do such a thing to allow in Doeg Adomi and Achitophel? These people who were so treacherous to David HaMelech, if David HaMelech comes to you and he is called the Peleshes, Haraget HaPlishti, he was the one who killed Goliath. He was the one who was Horishes Banecha Gat, as we said before. And if he says to you, how could you allow Doeg and Achitophel into Olam Haba to torture me in Olam Haba that their presence should still be here? Ma'ata Oselo, how are you going to explain that away? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Malachi HaShores, Yitro Ayi, Alay La'asotam Re'im Zelazeh, Oyseh Shalom Bimreimov, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can find, incredibly, the common denominator between Dovah HaMelech and Doeg and Achitophel. So that's the Plishtim. You're arguing, saying, how could they do this to the one who gave Klal Yisrael over the Shlita on the Peleshet? Kadosh Baruch Hu will make them friends, lasid lavo, with one another, which of course is part of the getter of the nature of an Olam Haba that completely transcends all of the issues that are so devastating in Olam Hazeh. If there's a shaychus to that person in an ultimate reality of Olam Haba, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. So I will take care of the bad feelings, because in reality, all of this is batal umavotal. Quite amazing story. So at the end, it comes out that all, in some ultimate sense, all of the Malachim and Hediotos that are included over here, the whole discussion is only there in order to provide us an insight into the depths of Ra and how it can affect the most wonderful people and the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. In terms of our having a say in an actuality of being able to paskin Olam Haba, indeed, that, as the Darshei Rishon must point out, that's never in our hands, never was, and shouldn't be misunderstood as the meaning of the pasuk. Very special. Okay, Rabotzai, whew, heavy duty. No, it's a case of a father praying for a son. It could be a different nekuda. But it's worse than that. If you remember, we always tined that the meaning of saying B'ni was the same as Yitzchak's saying B'ni to Esav, and that he was saying that it's because of the way I raised you that this happened. Because it says in the pasuk that he never actually put him in his place and ended up with a spoiled brat, that therefore lost all sense of what's appropriate and what loyalty means. And when you do that with your children, you end up with modern children that indeed are highly overrated. These are words that I see Ori is taking very much to heart and is studiously absorbing all of us. So that sense of saying b'ni, 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 if we're right, I didn't see this anywhere in Midrashim, but it seems to me that it's so striking that the concept is b'ni. That's what he was using in order to be Motziyim again. So he took upon himself that responsibility, just like Yitzchak Avinu said, b'cho ma'aseh b'ni, it's the fact that you're like me that has made you like this. That actually gave Yitzchak the schus to be able to vayakasher tarid. Terrible things. Much to think about. Okay, Rabosei. May we actually not be as overrated as we see in the world. Alavai. Okay, Kol Tov, everyone. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And looking forward to meeting up, hopefully, for our continuation of the Inyanim of Pesach.